Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with engaged, espoused, and married as we pick up in Luke chapter 1, verse 27. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Three terms we need to deal with: engaged, espoused, and married. A person could become engaged when they were 2 years old, because for the most part, marriage was by arrangement. So parents would get together, they would be friends. You'd have a pretty little girl, your friends would have a nice little boy, and we're friends with each other. Why don't we have your son marry my daughter? And we make the arrangements. And so here are these little kids, 3 or 4 years old, walking around saying, well, we're engaged. Because the arrangements have been made by their parents that they would have each other as husband and wife. They felt that decisions as important as marriage should never be left to the capriciousness of youth. They felt that young people didn't have enough wisdom to choose their mates. Now, as they became older, and usually they were married by the age of 15 or 16 years old, and as they became older, 1 year before they had the marriage ceremony, they entered into a period known as espousal, where they were as though they were married, in that they were committed completely to each other, but there was never a consummation of the marriage during this period of time. However, once they entered into the period of the espousal, they were considered married to the extent that if the fellow wanted to break it off, he had to actually get a divorce, even though the marriage at this point had never been consummated. So Mary and Joseph were in this period of espousal where they were totally committed to each other and to the marriage of each other, and yet the marriage was not to be consummated until the ceremony at a later time. And so to the virgin who was espoused, she was in this period of the 1 year before the actual consummation of the marriage. To a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel Gabriel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at what he was saying and thought in her mind, what kind of a greeting is this? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jehoshua, which in Greek is Jesus. But in Hebrew, Jehoshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. Now, you remember in Matthew's gospel, when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant and he was really troubled by it because they were espoused, he thought he might just give her a bill of divorcement, put her away privately, because if he would expose her publicly, she'd be stoned to death. And the angel of the Lord came to Joseph at night and said, Fear not to take Mary as your wife, for that holy thing which is conceived in her, or that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and thou shalt call his name, she'll bear a son, thou shalt call his name Jehoshua. So both Mary and Joseph were instructed by the angel of the Lord in the naming of Jesus. But when he told Joseph, call his name Jehoshua, he said, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the name is extremely significant because it expresses the mission of Jesus, and that is bringing God's salvation to man, Jehoshua. The Lord has become our salvation. And then the angel Gabriel went on to say, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And of course, throughout the Old Testament prophecies, there was that promise that the Messiah would sit upon the throne of David to order it and to establish it in righteousness and in judgment from henceforth, even forever. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. In the book of Revelation, again, that glorious song that Handel has put to music, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, forever and ever, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so the angel is telling about the eternal reign of Jesus Christ. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, there's a vast difference between the question of Zacharias and the question of Mary. Zacharias was questioning the word of the Lord. Mary was only asking information on the procedures. How is this to be, seeing I know not a man? Hers was not the question of doubt. Hers was only an inquiring question as to the manner by which it should be fulfilled. She believed, and that is pointed out a little later as Elizabeth said, blessed art thou who hast believed the word that the Lord spoke to thee. She believed the word that the Lord spoke to her. However, she didn't know by what process it was to be fulfilled. And that really was her question. How is this going to be? Seeing I am a virgin, I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that Holy One which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month of her pregnancy, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. There is sometimes within the Protestant circles perhaps a backlash to that position that the Catholics have sought to place Mary in as the intercessor, and even some today the co-redemptress. And there is that backlash among Protestants oftentimes to sort of put Mary down. However, as the angel said unto her, that she was highly favored, that the Lord was with her, and she was blessed among women. Surely, when God chose an instrument by which to send his Son into the world, I am certain that he chose an instrument that he had thoroughly prepared. And I believe that Mary must have been one of the most beautiful of character of any woman who has ever lived. And I think that we can demonstrate this actually in the text, that she was an extremely unique individual. Now remember, it is possible that at this point she was only about 16 years old. And yet there is such a depth of character that is demonstrated in her. And it begins right here, as when the angel tells her all of these remarkable, unusual things that are bound to create problems as they did with Joseph, her espoused husband. She said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." In other words, she submitted herself to the purpose of God. Here I am. Let the Lord do as he pleases in my life. That kind of commitment. And I'm just intrigued. And Mary is another one that I want to meet. What an unusual, remarkable person. Surely the most blessed of any woman who has ever lived. Now, culturally, it was the dream, the hope, the desire of every Jewish girl to be the instrument through which God would send the Messiah into the world. And thus, many young Jewish girls, when they had a boy born to them, would call his name Joshua, hoping that maybe God would use that child to be the instrument of his salvation. And that was a reason, one of the reasons, why being barren was considered such a curse. You have no opportunity to be the mother of the Messiah if you are barren. And that was the hope of every young Jewish girl, to be the instrument that God would use. The dream, the hope. And with Elizabeth being barren, she had lost that hope. And of course, everyone who was barren, they would lose the hope. Oh, I can't be the instrument. And that was a very disappointing thing to them, to feel, I can't be the instrument that God uses to accomplish his purpose. Oh, that we would be concerned about being the instrument through which God accomplishes his purposes. Today, the Druze, a very interesting people, they have an interesting religion that really, they don't even know what it is. In the Druze religion, it's a breakoff from the Muslims, but only their priests know what they believe. The people don't know what they believe. And the priest does the whole religious bit for them. They know they're Druze, and they know that, you know, this is their religion and all, but only the priests know what it's all about, and they know what they believe, but the people don't. And many of the men, though, are priests. And as you go through the Druze villages today, you will see these men wearing these pants with these large pouches in the front. For one of the things that the Druze do believe is that when the Messiah comes, he will be born of a man. And so going through their villages, and it's fascinating to go through the Druze villages and see these huge baggy pants in the front, these sacks that hang down in the front, and these men wear these in case they are the one that God chooses to send the Messiah through. In other words, they're the ones that will get pregnant with the Messiah, and so they're prepared for it by wearing these pants with these large baggy things in the front. They're all set for their pregnancies. They've already got their maternity clothes. But such was the hope of every young girl in Israel. And the fulfillment of that hope came to one, a young girl from Nazareth, a beautiful young girl of character and spirit named Mary. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zacharias, and she greeted Elizabeth. That word saluted is an old English word, and it actually means greeted. In the marriage ceremony, they used to say, "You may now salute your bride." But during World War II, too many of the guys were not really understanding the old English word salute, and so it has now, you know, something that you say, "You may now kiss your bride." So she entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the greeting, the salutations of Mary, that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as I heard the voice of your greeting sounding in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. I suppose that this would be an appropriate place to talk about abortion. Here was John the Baptist 6 months along, and yet there was some kind of a recognition for when Mary spoke, he responded to it in the womb. We are told that as the child is in the womb, that it begins to understand and to recognize voices, that you pregnant mothers should talk to your child. For if you are talking to them while you are still pregnant, they will be comforted by your voice after they are born because they've learned to recognize it. More and more, we are discovering interesting facets of that fetal development. And here at 6 months, with John, there was that capacity to leap for joy in his mother's womb when he heard the voice of Mary. Now remember, she is speaking by the Holy Spirit. And thus we have the word of the Holy Spirit that the child leaped for joy at the word of Mary. We talked a little bit this morning about what factors are considered in determining what is right and what is wrong in our present society. And the effect that the philosophy has had upon our entire culture. The idea that the mores determine in a society what is accepted and unacceptable behavior. What is good, what is bad, what is right, and what is wrong. And in this particular philosophical determination, if enough people within a society begin to practice a certain thing, it becomes then sociably acceptable, or it becomes good, or it becomes right, because that is determined by the mores of the society itself. Accepting that God does not exist, because it has to come from a totally humanistic base. God does not exist, and therefore there is no godly standard for right or wrong. And inasmuch as there is no godly standard for right or wrong now is determined strictly by the practices, the mores of a particular society. And the sociologists will show that there are societies where the father has nothing to do with the children. And so in that society, it is perfectly all right as the uncle takes the father role within the home. There are societies where they have a plurality of wives or a plurality of husbands. And because it's the accepted practice of the society, no one thinks wrong of it or thinks it's bad or evil. And because the mores determine what is right and what is wrong. So you get enough people doing something and suddenly it becomes right. And so we get enough abortions, killing millions of innocent babies, but it's all right because it's become a part of the mores. No one's supposed to say anything against it. I have a hard time handling my emotions around a child. I become foolish. I try to come down to their level a bit to communicate with them. I'm so fascinated with children. I love children so much. I love little boys. And I love little girls. And to me, there's nothing more enjoyable than communicating with children, seeing their responses. I love to study their faces. I love to study their habits. I love to study just children. I can hold them and just look at them for hours on end, watching them, watching the changing expressions and all. I love to see them develop and grow. That is why I have such tremendous difficulty with child abuse, where an adult would deliberately abuse a little child, hurt it, damage it, beat it, destroy it. And unfortunately, it is a rising, increasing problem in our society.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Luke on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Luke 1 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless and keep you in the love of Jesus Christ. And may the Lord work in your life this week in a special way, bringing forth victory out of seeming defeat. And may you experience God's hand upon your life as He trains, as He teaches, as He develops His work of love and grace within your life, as He prepares you for the future and for those things that He wants you to possess of His grace and of His glory. May the Lord strengthen you. Cause your life to be a witness for Him in Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
I'd like to tell you about a book written by Chuck Smith entitled Living Water. In this book, Pastor Chuck explains how God has the power to change your life through His Holy Spirit. This book will help you to understand how the Holy Spirit works in your life, covering such topics as, who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? What are the gifts of the Spirit? And how should I respond? It's Pastor Chuck's desire that by God's grace and through this book, the Lord will develop in you a hunger and thirst for the things after the Spirit that will help you come into a deeper and personal relationship with Him, transforming your life. To find out more and to read a book preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download Living Water by Chuck Smith. Or if you'd like to order this book in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. That's 800-272-9673.